Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. We don't have our screen up, but this is Chuck Bonneville.
There we go.
There we are.
There we are.
Beautiful faces here on True Straight Up. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. Great to see you. Last day of the year,
almost the last day of the year.
And we have got a great show.
We do have a great show. I want to say hello to everybody on Zoom. You know, we love having people join us on Zoom. The links are there. You can get to there from our website if ever you think, hey, I want to try that too. And let me give the Zoom meeting number. What you do is you go to zoom.us, and then the Zoom meeting number is 209-576-423. 209-576-423, or you can get from our site to the BBS site, which will get you to the Zoom site. It's a little bit of a process there. Show sponsored today by America's Citizen Press. It's a national version of Colorado Citizens Press. I want to thank them. They're the American conservative voice. We've got Tom Tancredo coming up here as soon as we get him on the phone. Wanted to talk to him. Chuck has been asking this question, and we thought, inquiring minds want to know, we know what the Democrats get out of all these massive giant spending bills, but what do the Republicans get? So we thought, well, we'll ask somebody who was there and sort of fought against it. Tom Tancredo, also kind of want to get a little bit behind the scenes maybe of the arm twisting that's going on there.
Yeah.
President's team is tweeting now, or said on Newsmax actually, that they've got Josh Hawley, we'll talk about that later on in the show, who has now said he will join the House people and
objecting. And now the howls go up. Oh attacking our democracy.
Oh,
this
yeah,
is the end of the world.
The hypocrisy there. But what I want to say is the president's team was just now saying on Newsmax that they will be able to present some specific evidence. A lot of information coming out of Georgia, too. So that'll be pretty interesting. Yeah, we'll have to see to Twitter and YouTube and Google. Will they like ban all of that? Will they ban whatever?
You know? Who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever they do. But we've got Tom on the line. I've known Tom since he first ran for Congress back in 1998 in the primary, and he's one of the very few people.
He was only 16 at the time.
Yeah, only 16 that didn't get sucked into the swamp and fought it all away and even ran for president of the United States. So, Congressman, great to have you back.
Hey, it's a pleasure to join you guys. It really is. Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. You too. So let me jump in. You know, like I said, Tom, we were talking, you know, while the debate was going on with these giant, you know, like you know, $27,000 we're going sending to Pakistan for gender programs, and $26 million to the Kennedy Center. All these pork bills, and we get
6,000 pages full of pork bills, mm-hmm. and then $600 change.
Yeah, that some people in the United States may get $600.
But we've been wondering kind of what do the Republicans fight for? I mean, I know they claim to fight for defense budgets, but...
A separate bill, right?
Well, but they put the two together. But I understand the Democrats. I mean, you know, they constantly fund Planned Parenthood. They constantly fund PBS. They constantly fund
the NGOs.
Gender programs.
Right.
I mean, it's just... billions go out to their foot soldiers when it comes down to it. And you always see these outrageous ones. I never see any ones that saying, okay, we're sending billions out to choice schools or NRA or anything else. And these bills, I guess, are done in private among leadership who goes to the members, I guess, who are their favorites and say, you want to stick some pork in here? Maybe I can get it in for you. And then they have 6 hours to read it. But what do the Republicans fight for? You know,
what do they get out of it?
Yeah, these months of endless wrangling, and all it ever seems to be is a Democratic wish list.
Right. Well, it seems that way, but let me tell you that any time, it's been my experience. I know I've mentioned this before, but it still holds true. Any time that you say to yourself, this is a weird thing, I don't understand how this could be happening. You know, it doesn't make sense. Why would anybody do that? The answer to that almost always is follow the money. Because
where's the money go? I mean, it goes to military contractors who give back to the
Chamber
of Commerce, who gives it back to senators.
No. Here's what happens. Okay. Here's what happens. They may have changed it, but there were 13 committees, 13 different appropriations bills that you're supposed to vote on individually. They hardly ever happen that way. You almost always are voting on packages of bills, sometimes the entire thing. And so that's when it gets, 6,000 or more pages. But in each case, you've got what they call a cardinal, who is the chairman of the committee of reference on these bills. These are the most important committees because they write the budget bills. And the people who are chairing those committees are called cardinals. Now, when we're in, it doesn't matter who's in, that's the way it is. But there's also, and important to understand here, there's also what's called a ranking member. Right?
Okay.
Now, who's the ranking member? That's the minority party person who is next, who would be chairman if the minority party ever became the majority party, right? He's okay. The sort of next in line. Okay. But so you've got really two leaders there. You've got the leader of the majority party, who's the cardinal, and you've got the leader of the minority party, who's the ranking member. Each of those people, however, get there for various reasons, mostly because they contribute huge sums of money to the leadership. Right? And so those choice assignments go to those choice positions and committees go to people who have committed sometimes millions and millions of dollars to the leadership. They buy those seats. Now, how do they get the money to buy those seats? They get the money from people who donate to them. Who donates to them? And this is Republican and Democrat. It is, in fact, people who have something they want out of those specific areas. And believe me when I say that we may hear a lot about, and we do naturally hear a lot about the liberal, the icons of liberalism, like Planned Parenthood and the rest, to get all this money. But I assure you that in every single district, or almost every single district in the country, there is somebody, somewhere, some business or some person who wants something from the Congress. It's because it is so big. It is because the budget is so huge. It affects so many people and so many entities that it is almost impossible to find somebody who says, I don't have anything in my district, so I would just vote no.
No, we're good here. No. Well, let me see
everybody, if I have this. Everybody's got something, and believe me, I would hear from them too. There were lots of businesses.
Who did you hear from?
I heard from especially businesses that had contracts with defense agencies. They're small, the businesses I had were sometimes these little shopette, it looked like almost, because you go, when you visit them, they make this specialized sort of equipment for a helmet for the military. You know what I mean? It's these little tiny things all over the place. And for me, I voted for one bill ever out of the 13. I only voted for one bill. For as long as I was 10 years, I never voted for an appropriations bill other than defense. It's true I did. Almost always, because I always considered it was only thing the federal government had a true responsibility for, right? I mean, under the Constitution, all the rest of this crap that is funded has got really nothing to do with the federal government, except that's where all the money comes from. So you can see how, not only that, you've got in every district, you've got these pressure groups, you've got the CEA, you've got teachers' union, teachers everywhere, right? They're everywhere.
I got the Democratic side. I can't figure out the Republican side. I got defense contractors. I got that. But other than that, what do the Republicans fund? I mean, they're paying off tens of thousands of people with Democratic money. Republicans, what are the Republican activist groups?
Activists.
Yeah.
There aren't any.
Yeah, well, what's the NRA get money?
Well, here's
let me ask you. I wish we would fund the kid that goes and does all that.
Project Veritas.
Project Veritas. That would love that.
But what are the Republican? groups that get money other than just fat cat businessmen and some defense contractors?
I think
contractors.
He's saying there aren't.
There are none?
There are.
How dumb is that? How do you expect to?
Because, listen, the money that comes to you, to your campaign,
right.
Republican or Democrat, the money you get, you know, I was really very lucky in that I had the highest number of low donors, small donors of anybody, right? I used to tout that all the time. And I loved it because most of businesses wouldn't. Remember, hell, don't you remember what happened? My district, this is a good example now. This is a great example. One day I suggested that we should tax all of the money that is being sent by illegal aliens in this country to their families in other countries, right? And it's called remittances. And I said, look, it costs us a fortune to keep these people here, you know, these illegal aliens. They do not pay their weight in terms of the taxes that they do pay, however they pay them. So I want to tax their remittances. Well, you would have thought, so I get this call from one of our great Republican leaders in the Douglas County office. It was a county commissioner, as a matter of fact, passed away just a little bit ago, but God love him. But he was an icon of the Republican Party in Douglas County, which, of course, is a very conservative county.
Right.
And he says to me, Tom, I got a call from the head of this company. It happens to be the largest company, largest employer in Douglas County. And I said, what did they want? He said, well, he said, if you continue to talk about this taxing thing, they would move out of Douglas County, move everybody out. And the name of the company, by the way, was First Data. Right.
Okay.
Now,
I said,
First Data? I said, don't they, aren't they the ones that deal with the with credit card transaction, you know what I mean, between the,
right.
the place you... Yeah, he says, yeah, that's what they do. But, of course, they have this other business they own. It's called Western Union. Okay? and
that's
of course,
funny, really.
Millions of dollars were made by Western Union, and therefore First Data, by the costs of the wire transfers of money that were being done, because it was $23 billion at that point in time.
Wow.
At that point in time, that was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, $23 billion just to Mexico, all right?
Yeah.
That was coming out of the United States being sent by wire transfer to these other countries from illegal, well, mostly illegal aliens working here.
Basically, you could run over by a bus if you didn't quit talking about taxing.
But I still haven't figured out what Republican activist groups
I don't know.
And what's wrong with the party?
That's it's stupid. But let me tell you, Tom.
What do you mean that's stupid? I mean it's incredible.
Wait, let me see if we have it straight. Let me try to clarify first. So what you're saying is Cassandra has said, so is Tom saying that the Republicans are as much of porkers as the Democrats?
Yeah.
And then Pence says yes, Chuck is just saying who are the whores that they're buying. The difference between so the Republicans are every bit as much porkers as the Democrats. But you're saying
yes.
that the Republican porkers tend to be porked, so to speak, by more individual, specific businesses, specific
yes.
people who then donate to their campaigns. The Democrats work the pork system, it seems, a little bit better because so then you only have one foot soldier, basically, who's willing
That's
to
right.
work for you.
And he's not going to work for
goes,
you because
no,
he's too rich.
So the Democrats...
It goes up the hill there a little bit because you have this, you have all of these business entities or individuals, you know. Listen, I used to hear from a lot of people in the state who were very wealthy and they wanted specific things. And so you knew this was all coming as a result of the fact that they had given you money. You know, you
right.
put money into your campaign. And sometimes it's personal money. Sometimes it's a business money. But the reality is that I mean, you can't take corporate donations. But what happens is that you have the leadership then comes, your own leadership,
right.
Republican
right. comes to you and leaders, says,
come
bill.
To you and say, look, man, do you understand that Chamber of Commerce wants this? And the Chamber of Commerce, those are our people. They give us millions of dollars. You know,
not anymore, though.
Yeah. No, well, of course, that's the case. And it was always the thing that drove me crazy, because they were the biggest problems I ever had with immigration, getting immigration laws passed.
Right.
True, good reform. It was always the Chamber of Commerce. What I'm telling you is there is so much money in the federal government, so much that it touches everything and everybody. Okay. And it doesn't matter. You can think, well, we don't, you know, we're all pure. But no, everybody is looking at how much money, because you want to get on that committee I was just telling you about. How do you get there? You have to contribute from your coffers, from your campaign coffer to the leadership pack, right?
Right.
In order to get these things. Well, how do you get the money into your coffer? Well, right. Of course, you got to go out and beg, and it's all the same thing. Follow the money.
Yeah. Well, it just goes back that the Republicans, the party, is stupid.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats,
there are tens
of thousands of people who are all saying, hey, great, I got my whatever it is. And they're happy to knock on doors and do everything else because their money stream is dependent upon it. Whether it's these groups that aid immigrants to acclimate or whatever else, they're endlessly funding tens of thousands of people who can then go and vote 5 or 6 times themselves because it's their money chain.
Right.
Why don't the Republicans ever learn that?
If we're going to be porkers.
Well, remember, you also got, okay, let's be realistic here. What was the last message that Trump sent to the Senate when they refused to give, to up the ante from $600 to $1,200 to $2,000 per person? What did Trump say to them? Remember that? That was just yesterday.
He was saying, why are you fun? Oh, go ahead.
He said, do you have a death wish?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't care about budgets.
What does this tell you?
They've been throwing out trillions all year long. So what's another trillion or two? I mean, just like it's, what's Mitch McConnell do? I mean, is he just ensuring, like Gene Michael used to, you know, it was a little before your time, but he was a minority head of the House, and he made sure that they lost every election for 40 years. And then all of a sudden it was the Newt Gingrich revolution. But Mitch McConnell seems to be kind of just...
Well, he's just happy. He doesn't care. I mean, let me ask you this, Tom. So none of them actually care anymore if they screw the average American person.
Hell no.
They just want to make sure that they're getting their pork stuff passed. So
pork stuff is so dumb.
Not to them. I mean, they don't care. That's what I'm saying. They don't care about voters.
Somebody's pork is somebody else's absolute necessity. You have to understand.
Well, absolutely, but the smart necessity. I mean, you know, Planned Parenthood, that's thousands of people.
Let me ask you this, too. Does it, besides just money...
I still don't get it.
I get it. It's just dumb. Let me ask you this. I mean, we hear a lot about, you know, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the influence peddling and being bought and sold. I got to imagine that goes on a lot also. So that, for instance, if the Western Union people had been really smart, what they could and should have done was offered your wife a job at Western Union. I mean, does that kind of thing happen to you?
Of course. Hell, but it even happened in the state legislature. I remember when this was, 40 years ago, I introduced a bill to get rid of the inspection sticker that everybody got screwed with every single year, having to fix your car up by most of the time, big fraud, you know. And so I introduced a bill to get rid of it. Well, they said, what? That's been on the books for 40 years. I said, okay, I think it's a fraud, and I think everybody's getting screwed, and I don't believe it has anything to do with safety. You look around at other states, we actually looked at the accident rate per 100,000 miles in other states. It had nothing to do, the rate of accidents had nothing to do with whether the state had a inspection sticker program or not. So I introduced the bill. Oh, okay, so I'm sitting there, and the guy comes at. They send a little card in, you know, with the aid. And I'm sitting on the floor of the house, and it says there's so and so, and he'd like to talk to you. And I said, oh, sure, okay. And it was a name. Now I can't remember now, but it was a name that everybody knew at the time because it was like a huge auto glass company, but it was the guy's name, so and so auto glass. And so I said, sure. Guy comes in, sits down, and he goes, Well, he said, I just wanted to tell you that I give a lot of money to the Republican Party. And I said, oh, well, that's a good idea. And he said, well, and I could give, you know, a lot of money to you. And I said, well, it's also a good idea, I'm sure. And he said, but all you have to do is you can't push this crazy-ass bill, you know, about the inspection stickers, because that's a huge part of my business. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but, and I said, let me get this straight. You just offered me money, essentially, to can a bill. And he goes, well, he just looked at me, says, I'm telling you about donations I make to the party. So I didn't know what to do. I was like a first-term member, you know, and I looked at, there was this old fellow, great big black guy, great guy, Bill Purcell, that was his name, and he was a sergeant at arms. Now, the sergeant at arms in the House is nothing more than nothing to it. There's no sergeant part, really.
Or at arms.
And he'd been there for, I don't know, 20 years. He was this older guy, nice guy. And I yelled, Sergeant at arms, Sergeant at arms, come over here. And the guy, poor Bill, walks over, and I said, this guy, I want you to repeat what you just told me, because this guy's trying to bribe me. He's trying to bribe me. And so the guy, whoever the hell he was, I wish I could think of his name, he jumps up and runs out and is cussing me all the way. And Purcell says to me, what the hell did you expect me to do about that? And I said, I had no idea, buddy. I don't know, but I didn't know what to do.
But this was illegal or something, Aaron, isn't it?
Anyway,
well,
it happens all the time, is what I'm
saying.
That's
why you should have been governor and president, Tom. That's all I can say. So,
I never would be able to raise enough to get there for these things.
Right. He was explaining that the Republicans are just as much porkers
but
as the
dumb
Democrats.
About
they're
it.
Just dumb they're just, about
they're
it.
Just dumb like in
well,
everything
they
else.
They only care about themselves.
Well, everybody only cares about themselves, but the Democrats at least go around saying, if we get to Planned Parenthood, it's 10,000 workers, it's everything else. And everybody else goes, well, Raytheon, you know, oh boy, Raytheon will like us. It's just a stupidity level.
Oh, well, I could never understand it for things like, I mean, really, sometimes it made no sense to me at all. I remember every year I would vote against any appropriation for the National Endowment for the Arts, right?
Yeah.
Because, of course, we have absolutely nothing. There is no frigging way that I should be able to take money from my constituents to give it to some art project that I probably would never certainly want, or maybe I would, but you know, maybe I should be. So I'd always get up and I'd say, you know, this is a wonderful thing here. And I'd listen to all of the comments made on the pro side, right? And it was always this, the arts, they improve people's lives. They make the world a better place. And so I write them all down, and then I would go up and I'd say, I move to create a national commission for religion. And I want to be on the committee that determines which religion gets the money. Because all of the things I heard you say about the arts will fit perfectly in religion.
Right.
Religion does all of these wonderful things. So why shouldn't we give religious groups this money? And why shouldn't I be on the board that determines which one gets it? Don't you think it's right? I mean, it's only right. It improves people's lives, for God's sake. Come on. You know, and of course, it will go down in flames every time. But I had so much fun doing it. But the Republicans would vote against it almost always. Almost always.
Why?
And that one, I can never explain that to you. I don't know. Yeah. Well, you know, they got people who call them on the phone and go, I just was watching PBS and they said that there was no more money coming from you.
If you actually did, where you only gave it to kind of evangelical churches or conservative Baptist ones and so forth,
right?
And they in turn, you know, gave money down, you'd have hundreds of thousands of voters. And the National Endowment of the Arts, I mean, they spread that money out all over the place. And so every little artiste considers themselves a Democrat. And so, I mean, your one was perfect. It ought to be.
It should be. National Endowment for Religion.
Well, why don't Republicans get that? They could set up this whole boondoggle, which would be no different than the boondoggle they're doing for other people. And they could make, they get tens of thousands of committed people who want the money coming to their church. So they don't have to give it to them. I mean, that's brilliant.
Well, of course, you know, if we could ever get it passed, the only church that would ever get it would be maybe some Episcopalians,
it wouldn't be
the Baptists, that's for sure.
No, the reason they smack you down and the Republicans vote against it is, again, not just that they're dumb, but they need to maintain the swamp. In other words, if they let people like you start raising questions and start saying, well, let's vote against this, all of a sudden, whatever their little pet project is or their little pet pork donor is, then that gets voted. I mean, it seems to me that's the thing. They can't afford, in their mind, to have anybody asking any questions, which leads me to my next question. And isn't that, do you think, the bottom line why even the Republicans hate Donald Trump so much?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they hate him because he upsets that entire apple cart. You know, He really does, all the way around. Now, the idea that somebody can, who never been elected to an office, who has actually no IOUs outstanding for, you know, in terms of anybody in the party, anybody like that is a huge threat. It truly is. And that's why they can't stand him. But that's why you know what I would love to do, you guys? I really have been thinking about this a lot, and maybe you and I, the three of us, can figure out a way to get it done. But I would love, if the worst happens, and if Sleepy Joe ends up being inaugurated, I would love to be able, I want to build some sort of monument to Donald Trump.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
He's the greatest president I have ever lived under. I mean, I loved Ronald Reagan, but Trump has done more.
No.
Everybody's saying, other listeners are saying, yes, Tom, just so you know. And then it would take it 5 seconds for Antifa to tear it down, of course, and then
we'd have to, what else would be fun? Make it a traveling.
Yes, that's right.
Drive it all around.
We could send it to Vandermeer.
Send it to Vandermeer. That's right.
Oh, God. I don't want to lose what he's done. I want people to know what he's done. Forever, you know.
Well, let me ask you. Turn to the state politics and our Republican Party of Colorado. If nationally there are at least some people, they're a minority, but there's some people out there. Josh Hawley, DeSantis, the governor of South Dakota, some others that are encouraging. And the Republican Party controls 30 of the 50 state houses, and so you know,
right.
A lot of viability. But here in Colorado. It just seems unbelievably bleak. I mean, the only good one we had was Patrick, Neville and his group, and the Democrats spent literally $4 or $5 million getting squishes elected in conservative seats, so they threw him out as minority leader, and then
but he quit.
But he couldn't have gotten
right,
and neither could any other conservative. And so there's nothing left. I mean, so now our former Secretary of State,
Wayne Williams.
No.
Scott Gessler.
Scott Gessler is now going to be the newest head of the Republican Party, according to all the pigs I know.
Nice people are saying that too.
No, they're not. He's owned and operated by Josh Penry, Andy George.
Yeah.
So is there any hope, I guess, is where
Josh... Well, no, but what is there to support? I mean, I just read, and we can talk about this later, this wonderful article in that very conservative Colorado Politics, which is exactly the same as the Denver Post. It's composed of all Denver Post people, a pro and con of whether Cory Gardner was the second coming. and they had... Mark Hillman and Jeff, what's his name?
I'm not sure.
Oh, the gun guy. Jeff, you know, Julie.
Dudley Brown?
No. He's a sellout. He's one who...
Oh, Kevin Priola? Larson?
No.
All right, make your point, though.
I'll figure out the other name. I don't know why.
He's been listening. He's channeling in his inner Joe Biden there.
Anyway, so those are two people who literally raise money for Democrats in the House.
Greg Brophy.
Sellout Greg Brophy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's just a total sellout. And we have all our Democratic friends, and he always comes to them hat in hand saying, I've got a squish for you. I got a squish. We can do really well. Squished them. Get me some money. So there is no hope for the Republican. I mean, Susan Beckman was the last hope. And Ken Buck, you know, found out that they wanted him to be their boy. And when he wasn't, they filed criminal and ethics charges and everything else. There is no hope in Colorado for the Republican Party, is there? It's just a bunch of sellouts. We just had a special session where, thank God, Patrick and the other guys said, we're not voting for any of your stupid bills. And then you had, you know, the majority of the Republicans going, oh, yeah, but, you know, they raised it only 3.75% instead of 4. Victory. Yay, bipartisanship. I mean, they stink. Yeah. They just stink.
Well, I wish I could figure out a way to disagree with you.
So do I.
But I can't. I can't. I see nothing. I see no hope here on the horizon. I keep thinking, you know, looking at all the votes that come in on the initiatives and amendments and all that crap. And sometimes you think there's hope because a statewide tax will go down. But then you see that, hell, you know, this state actually votes for infanticide, you know.
Yeah.
And so there really isn't any hope, any more hope than if we lived in Oregon or Washington or in California. the District of Columbia.
Well, maybe not Oregon, but I can promise you, because I speak about it to all my Democratic strategists, they say mail-in ballot. The state would be 50-50 if you had an election day. If you had an election day, it would be 50-50. But mail-in ballots, ballot by fraud, what they do down at the city and county in Denver is really sickening. Here in up Adams County, because they didn't want any votes thrown out that were Democrats, they threw all the poll workers out because it says you may have poll workers. You don't have to. They cheat and lie and steal. And the government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know Tom Bjorklund?
Yeah.
You know who he is? He's been my campaign trainer. He's been around for 100 years. He has done this. Really, you've got to have him on, and he'll talk to you about the report he has just completed himself, his own money, of the balloting in Colorado and how incredibly fraudulent it was. And so when you say, well, if we had legitimate elections, well, how the hell do you think we're going to get them?
Yeah.
You're going to pass it via an initiative process? You think you're going to pass it in the legislature? No, of course not. It's all controlled by them. It's corrupt as hell. And so
and
that's
the courts
why
are
I say I don't
them.
Know where you go from here. I don't know.
I agree.
Right, well, I'm going to turn a little bit more positive. With
all right. Joy's going positive. There you go.
But speaking of the election, I wanted to get some insight from you, Tom, having been there and I'm sure subjected to your fair share of arm twisting. So, okay, so we had Josh Hawley come out today and say he'll object to the Electoral College. He'll challenge it. We've got several people in Congress. There are some rumblings of other senators. How much, like, bribery or threats or extortion is, like, Mitch McConnell? I mean, what's talk about just sort of an insider's look at the probable maneuvering that's going on.
Because
you
got your fair share of arm twisted.
That's for sure. It certainly happens. The Senate is a little different than the way the House does it. And, you know, I've never been over there during these kinds of events, but I'm sure that it's the same kind of thing. Look, you know, you're a good guy. We really liked having you on board our team. But Tom, what the hell? You know, we need you. This is a team issue here. Well, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Well, but you don't understand. It is really important to the leader. It's important to the president. It's important to me. It's whatever the hell. And you say, well, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Well, you know, remember they told Joel Heffley, you know, Joel, you're the chairman of the committee on for armed services. And it's, you know, you're at Colorado Springs, my God, that's important committee. You're the head of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly. Oh, you want to be tomorrow? That was the way the speaker put it to him when he was trying to get him to vote for that the worst piece of junk I ever had to deal with, which is the we were creating another $1 trillion program for Medicare for elderly in terms the Medicare prescription drug plan. So I mean, Joel got. I remember that so clearly. It was the most horrible day of my life in Congress because we were there all night long. They wouldn't let us go. Calling the people off of the floor, the president calling people off the floor because you couldn't lobby on the floor. So they come up to you and say, excuse me, Congressman, President Bush is on the phone. Would like to talk to you out here in the hall. And you go out in the hall, hey, come on, buddy. You know, this is for me. I need this. I need Florida. This is all for Florida. I need Florida. And then they had every one of the cabinet members who, from your state, if you were from a state that, you know, where a cabinet member was from, that guy or gal was talking to you almost constantly. Then they made a buddy. They buddied up. Anybody that was for the bill, they made them like glue themselves to you, follow you around. Bob Beaupre was glued to me.
And Bob,
please don't waste your time. I'm going to sleep. It's 6:30. I've been here all night. I'm never going to vote for it. Go away. Leave me alone. But this is what they would do. And then it was, you know, well, you do have this bill up in appropriations, you know, and I mean, we'd love to see it because it's a good bill. Oh, boy. This one is one of the – and we were all hoping you could get it through. But, you know, it's one of those things, Tom. Everything – it depends upon – as I said, we sat there all night, and all you could do was hear arms breaking. and people – and threats being made and promises being made. We'll do this for you if – but we'll also do this to you if. It's everything you can think of. When it's really, you know, when it gets to that level, and this is one that the president wanted. And so, and we were the, you know, we had the House, we had the Senate, and I kept thinking, my God in heaven, this is a worse bill than the Democrats have put up so far. And we're doing this. We're doing this. Why are we doing this? Because he believed it would help him in Florida.
Exactly. So,
and, you know, we're not the only, I only can tell you those stories about Republicans because that's what happened to me. But I assure you, it's on both sides of the aisle.
You had a chance to sit down with Lauren Bobert and tell her?
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Oh, she's so that's the brightest part of the entire election night was Lauren Bobert.
Yes. Hopefully she listens to you more than she listens to Liz Cheney. That's just.
Yeah. I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
Liz Cheney was there for a fundraiser, though, so it shows you.
There you go.
Hey, Tom, listen, thank you.
We appreciate you as always.
Yes.
It's great.
To hear. Hey, Happy New Year. We'll bring you along for any time we need interpretation and comments on what the heck are they doing in life.
Yeah, well, remember, follow the money.
Follow the money. All right.
Thanks again, Tom.
Appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Former Congressman Tom Tancredo there answering your question, and it's as discouraging as we would thought. Let's move on to something a little bit brighter. And the comments, by the way, are great on the chat thing. You guys, that's great to listen to that and read that. I wanted to talk a little bit, though, about one bright spot, I think, which is Josh Hawley. Here's why I think this could be important. I'm getting the sense, and Tommy Chuck, if you disagree, that I don't think Bob Pence is much of a hope. I don't think Bob Pence is going to do this. And who knows why or why not? Well, I guess we all know why. But one of the other things, so we've got several members of Congress and the House side have said, we will challenge the Electoral College.
Including Lauren Bobert.
Yes. And now Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican in Missouri, says he will also challenge it. What's interesting to this is the Democrat and the mainstream media, corporate media response. Amy Klobuchar called it a coup attempt. All of these horrible, horrible things. Completely, of course, ignoring the fact that in 2004 and as recently as 2016, they did it. They had Democrats challenged it, and those people were courageous.
Stand up.
Stand up. But if we had guys at BBS, we took a soundbite. This is from Senator Chris Murphy, who is very concerned about
very
the Fed.
Very concerned about our democracy. About, wow, watch this one.
Here's, if we could play the coup attempt soundbite.
Let's be clear. Josh Hawley and anyone who supports his effort are engaged in the attempted overthrow of democracy. There is no evidence that there was any fraud. Senator Hawley apparently believes that if a Democrat wins the presidential race, it must be illegitimate by definition, even absent any actual evidence of misbehavior.
Now, what's interesting, and I think good, at least for the country, to maybe not the actual outcome, is that, again, as I was saying earlier, the president's team, apparently, at least for right now, they're saying they're going to have a chance to present some actual specific evidence. So it'll get out there. And so, you know, one of the things...
No, it won't.
Well, all right, it'll get out there and some things.
One no,
the,
it won't.
One of the things here, Sandra was saying, you know, so what do we do? How can we fight? This is one of the things that that I've been talking to Chuck about, and because I'm more optimistic. He's still kind of in deep depression here. But it is this kind of thing. What we can do is make everything as difficult for them as possible. It's like that guy on Monday, we played the soundbite of the California restaurant owner who parked his truck behind the health department worker guy's car, who was going to cite some people for sitting on a bench and eating food in front of his restaurant. He was going to try to close down the restaurant. And the police officers, they're saying, you know, come on, let's just not make this difficult. And the guy says, I want to make this difficult. This is difficult to me. I want to make it difficult to you and you and you and you. And I think, Sandra, that that is at least one thing we can do. And so rather than just, that's why I hate the Republicans, right? Rather than just rolling over and saying, oh, well, they cheated, we lost, go ahead and say, no, we're going to challenge it and we're going to hold hearings. And Sidney Powell is going to keep talking about stuff. Make it as difficult as possible. Here's what I was thinking. I mean, in little ways, we can do this rather than, you know, this is how Republicans do things. If we want to hold a rally, we get the permit, then we go down to where they are. And then when they beat us up, we, you know, so screw the permits. Antifa doesn't get a permit.
Well, they don't need to.
Well, the only reason you get a permit is to give them the ability to control you. So number one, screw the permit. Number two, don't go to the state capitol where no one really cares about it. You don't inconvenience anybody. Go to the county commissioner's homes. Do exactly what they do. GoPro, when they went and marched in front of the ICE director's home, you know, they made it difficult for him, for their neighbors. We need to, I believe, adopt those same tactics. Make everything as difficult for them as possible. And so don't do it in some benign spot, you know, from your permitted hours. Go ahead and raise a little bit of hell or a lot of hell in front of the
places and
the people.
Well, they're terrified of that. That's why Patrick Neville gave the registration address for some reporter and somebody else, and they just melted down.
Right.
They just melted down.
Make it hard on them. And you know what? This is what I would say, and we can get into this. It's a whole different show. But Kyle Clark is complaining in Douglas County. A Republican there was doxing, giving out the names and addresses of health department workers.
Why not?
You know what?
They come to your home.
A year ago, I would have said, you know, I don't know that that's right. But now here's why I think we should do it. Because they do it to us and it has an impact, right? So if you're a health department worker, when you make their life difficult, nobody is threatening to hurt them. Nobody's threatening to cause any harm. Patrick Neville gets threats all the time. He regularly has to have the cops out in front of his house because somebody on social media is doxing him, and not just doxing, but threatening. But I think go ahead and put that out there. And then maybe the health department employees say, hey, wait a minute. Why are
they
we doing
like
this?
They don't like us much. And guess what? They're always there because they never go down to the health department. They're all working from home.
Then maybe,
they're putting in their 2 hours a day there.
Maybe.
And really giving you all.
Maybe, then they'll say to their boss, you know, look, this is not worth me having my name and address out there. And maybe their boss will be like, okay, well, maybe we'll back off. Or maybe, just maybe, if we all join in, if we all block the tow trucks, if we all sit in the restaurants and say, no, we're not leaving. Oh, and by the way, my mask is off too. If we all do that, hopefully then we'll get some great law enforcement people like Steve Reams, who says, I'm not going to enforce it.
Then they send the ATF in.
Well, but it starts small. And they'll say, this is not why I'm in law enforcement. I got in here to fight bad guys, not to throw law-abiding citizens out of a restaurant. And one other thing I was thinking, I'm kind of on a rant here again. You know, people say, well, that's civil disobedience. No, it's not. They're the ones who are committing or exhibiting civil disobedience. We are the ones who are exerting our constitutional and God-given rights. I mean, think about it. Who would have thought a year ago that we could not go to the church of our choice, that we could not get together with family on holidays, that we could not visit dying relatives.
There are exceptions to that, Julie.
Our kids couldn't go to school unless...
If you're an elected official or a governor, then those rules don't apply to you, just to the little people. Just you little people.
Exactly. So us little people got to make everything as difficult for them as possible. And again, no, we're not the ones being civilly disobedient. They are. We're the ones being patriotic Americans. And I think, you know, we're so used to microwave solutions where we do one thing and it's all done.
Well, Ben says, yes, yes, yes. And he says, we ought to put Trump on Mount Rushmore. I agree.
Well, yeah, and then they'll try to tear it down. So I think that's what we do. So again, I applaud stuff like these people coming up and, you know, the quest, in a way, it's not like, no, I mean, you know, that Andrea Mitchell saying, well, of course, this is ridiculous. It's not going to win. We know it's not going to win. We know it's not going to win. Maybe hopefully someday we can get back to the point where it might win. But what it can do is it can make their life difficult. It can make Twitter's life difficult. It can make Facebook's life difficult.
Well, the only way you're going to stop fraud, for example, Dominion's changing the machines. Well,
right.
There's a guy in the Georgia Senate who showed he got in while he was on testifying. He said, now I'm in. And the Republicans need to switch 100,000, 200, 400, 500,000 votes. And then the Democrats go, wait a minute, we both can't. Whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to have. But as long as they cheat and get away with it, they're going to do it till they die.
Ben, you're there. Let me go first to Jacob from Denver. He called in a little bit ago and he's been kind of waiting. Hey, Jacob from Denver, thank you for calling in.
Hi, back in 2010, Andrew Romanoff ran for the Senate position against Michael Bennett. Romanoff had 80% of the caucus's approval. Michael Bennett decided to go the route of the paper ballot, of the mail-in ballot. How do you think he won that?
Yeah, good point.
What makes they do it? The Democrats do it to themselves too.
Exactly.
And the Republicans do it. Go down for the election of the new. Of the new Colorado chair, and Butterball and the other ones will be taking the proxies in any which way to guarantee that Scott Gessler is the next Republican. He's going to be your next chairman.
If you go back to I think it was 2014 when Hickenlooper won his second term as governor. You'll note that Denver and Boulder withheld their counts until the very end.
Yeah. No,
they do all kinds of
things. You know, when they say, Jacob, there's no, but, and that's just their mantra, right? You know, it's
fair,
debunked.
Safe,
there's no,
secure,
there's no, there's
gold
plenty
standard.
Of evidence. So,
it's all fraud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Republican Party, you know, when squashing grassroots, they're just as crooked, but they have no ability to fight against the tough guys.
I think this has been going on since 1995. And I think some people who lost may have really won, but, you know, it is what it is.
And same for the mail-in issues. All right. Hey, Jacob, thank you for calling.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you, too,
same
sir.
To you.
Well, Ben is cooking on this from Karen Cataline. Thank you for Karen Cataline. WikiLeaks, keep listening to our show. Don't turn us off yet. But WikiLeaks just dumped all of their files online, everything from Hillary Clinton emails, McCain's being guilty, Vegas shooting done by an FBI sniper. What? Wow. That should occupy us all. I'm just going to put the call into Michael Tao right now. But Ben, okay, so that obviously we'll be doing a show on that. Ben, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. What do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in here and just say that I think that you're going to see a lot more senators now jump on board since Holly came out. I think Ted Cruz is probably regretting that he didn't come out first because whoever comes out first is going to be having that as his, his badge of honor when it comes to him to run to president. Now you have Josh Hawley coming out. So that's what I'm saying. I think you're going to see Cruz and you're going to see some of these other hopeful Republican senators come out and line up now behind this, because this is flagrant what happened here in these five states. And that other senator, I forgot what his name was that you had the clip of, That guy's just, he's just running the same, you know, the same storyline as all the other Democrats.
Well, they always, whatever they accuse you of is what they're doing. They're undermining democracy, which is what they do with all their fraud and their Dominion voting machines and all their stuffed ballots.
Well, so this is coming right down to what we said before. And of course, everybody that was a never Trumpster that was on the news media was all saying, oh, no, it'll never get that far. They'll never get this. It's impossible. It's over. Just, you know, give your concession speech and get out of the office. No, he needs to fight and fight like hell to do this. And what I said about yes, Sandra had said that your show needs to go national. And that's what I said, yes.
Well, thank you for that. There you go. I'll share some numbers with you guys. We got these from BBS. We are getting pretty good numbers nationally. And I we'll talk about this a little bit more, too, because I just want to thank everybody. But we get, which to me was astonishing, more than 100,000 downloads a month. And, you know, that's doing three shows a week. And, I mean, that's like minimal. I mean, I think it's, you could probably... many more thousands.
Because that's only part of the things that we get to.
I mean, you keep in mind that we started with zero. So we're hopeful. And hopefully part of the reason is, it's not us, it's you guys. And the fact that you know, we're not kidding about the truth straight up. You may not agree with us. You may not like us. You may say, you know, I reach a different conclusion, but at least we're going to tell it like we see it. And if we don't see it, that's where we get to be like Tom Tancredo on, to go ahead and say,
explain to us,
explain what's really going on. Because you know what? You're not going to see Tom Tancredo, you know,
on the Denver Post or Colorado Politics,
right,
or Denver Gazette or Colorado Sun or all the other, you know, same old left-wing media.
But the reason I believe people are listening to us is, again, it's because of you and the comments and the things of the people that we present. I think we're just sort of a conduit. But there are many people out there who get it. And I guess going back to Sandra, I don't know if we're going to win right now. I don't know if we're going to win in 2022 or 2024. But I firmly believe that anymore, we just need to do everything we can to make it difficult. We need to have, like when the homeless people, when the Denver police are, you know, breaking up their homeless camps, what are some of those, I don't even know what the homeless advocates do. They get on social media and say, everybody get down here right away. And they show up and they don't stop the police really, but they sure make it difficult and they sure cause a scene. And they, you know, and then you get Candy C. DeBaca coming. I think that's the kind of thing we need to do. When the liquor, when the health department is going into the Lion's Den restaurant in Lyons to take away all of their legal alcohol, for which they had no legal right to do, we need to start up systems where we could say, everybody get here. And we need to literally, and I'm not kidding about this, stand in front of the door and say, we're not moving. Our cars are here. We're not moving.
And we won't get a chance to talk about it. But Julie, do you know who Colorado Politics, owned by Phil Anschutz, news partner is?
Channel 9, Kyle Clark.
Channel 9 and Kyle Clark. So there's your conservative outlet partnering up with, because they're not conservative, they're just left-wing, just like all the other
news. Well, and you know, the other kind of optimistic thing I see in this is the mainstream or corporate media has become so awful,
that no one
even pretends anymore they're not awful. No. And no one listens. We've said this before when, you know, the Denver Post trashes Patrick Neville the other day. We couldn't find anyone who could comment on it because they're like, well, I didn't read it. I mean, all these people, like, I don't get the Denver Post. So their influence is waning.
Well,
I think
those articles on Cory Gardner with pro and con, they garnered a grand total of zero comments for both of them. So not a lot of people reading or responding because it's the same old garbage.
There are more of us than there are of them. And I think that's something we need to remember. Hey, God, this time went so fast. We'll be doing the show. There's so much to talk about. This is such an important time. And we're going to be doing the show live on New Year's Day.
So come join us.
If you, it's
you know a place to go anyway. Yeah. So you might as well join us. I mean,
we're family. We're family here. Yeah. Join us. If you miss a podcast, we'd love to have you check it all out at chuckandjulie.com. We're now on Podbean. You can listen to us on Apple Music, iHeart, Spotify. I'm going to probably, we might have to do some gaming. No, I'm kidding. Go on Twitch here too.
yeah.
But, you know,
MGM Gaming.
Yeah. But check out chuckandjulie.com. You can listen to us at any time that we post all our podcasts there as quick as we can.
I'll give you my picks for the who'll cover the line. No, I won't.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start doing an email here, too, once Rev gets back in school. And so I have some time. I want to thank the great guys at BBS. Thank you to everybody out there on Zoom.
I really want to thank Tom Tancredo for being so generous this time.
Exactly. So everyone have a great New Year's Eve, and we will see you New Year's Day.
That's right. Have fun out there because you can't go anywhere. Take care.